Okay, I'd like to just find out what kind of participation I'm going to get. If you're here, raise your hand. Yeah, only if you're here. Some of you aren't here. Are you here, miss? If you're here, raise your hand. Okay. She probably did. I just didn't notice. My name is Steve Kuhn, and I've been a Christian for like 44 years. Actually, probably before most of you were born. Wait, who's that? Yeah. No, really. But before I was a Christian, I don't know if any of you can relate to this. Before I was a Christian, I was a big sinner. Okay? Anybody else? Big sinner. And then after I asked Jesus in my heart, I'm still a big sinner. Okay? Do we recognize that? Is that kind of good? Okay. We're saved, but it's like, oh my gosh. We realize that, because, you know, a lot of people think to become a Christian, you have to become good, right? Well, if that was the case, none of us would be a believer. And I say that to help us realize that when we're sharing with somebody the gospel, that if we have any thoughts in our mind that we're better than them, it won't go over well. You might not say it, but they'll be able to tell. Okay, so if you have those kind of thoughts, just realize that we're all still sinners saved by grace. The only difference is that we have been forgiven and they haven't yet. Okay, so does anybody here have anybody that they know that isn't saved yet? Good, let's practice raising our hand again. Okay, so good. Okay, not good, but so have we been, is there anybody here that's been praying for somebody for at least 5 years? At least 5 years. Okay, 10 years? 20 years? Okay, good. And what are we praying? We're praying, God, send someone, please. Send someone that can share with them, right? Is that what we're praying, some of us? Okay. Well, hopefully, when we're done, that when God tells you, if God tells you to share with them, you'll find out you're the one that you've been praying for. So, for the first 31 years of being a Christian, I started sharing the gospel when I was a very young believer. I guess one of the first prayers I did is the night that I asked Jesus in my heart, I asked God that he would send me a wife, okay? I was 21 years old, and like I said, I was a big sinner. And a couple days later, I had a class, and we had a break in the middle of the class, and there was a real pretty girl there, and I asked her to go and have a soda with me at the break. And I found myself telling her about Jesus. What does a two-day-old Christian know? Because I didn't know anything. I don't have a clue what I said. But apparently God gave me words or just touched that girl's heart, because then I think it was like the next week she went to church with me and accepted the Lord. And it was a good experience, okay? Because that's my wife, Anita, you know, and you have to feel sorry for her. She had no clue what she was in for, that she was going to marry this guy. But so that was kind of like a good at first experience, right? But that's not really why we share the gospel. We share the gospel because there's about, how many people in the world, 7 billion plus? Anybody counted lately? I can't really count. But there's around 7 billion people in the world, and I'm going to guess at least 5 billion of them aren't saved. You know, I don't know if that, I think there's about 2 billion that say they're Christians. I don't know if they really are. But of those 5 billion that aren't saved, there's got to be at least a couple billion that haven't heard the gospel. Okay? Now, Scotland, is anybody here Scottish? Okay. You guys are good at raising your hands. Okay, so Scotland back to 100, 200, 300 years ago, they were sending missionaries all over the world. As a matter of fact, some of the, what we call the heroes of the faith that I read about 20-ish years ago that God used to encourage me are from Scotland. But as you guys will sadly probably agree with me, Scotland now is not really that strong as far as how many people are Christians, okay? Now, one of the problems that I found, because the first time I came over to UK, my wife and I came here in 2004, let me go a little bit backwards because I'm kind of jumping over a few things. So I was telling you that I was a Christian. I started sharing the gospel. That proves that I'm Scottish. She said not to say M, but you guys say it every sentence, so I'm Scottish M. about 13, 14 years ago, I got very frustrated. Jesus said the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. Right? Did he say that? Okay. And I had found that, I did not find any type of a ripe harvest that I had seen. You would think that you would have at least, you know, a small handful of fruits or vegetables if you had even a back garden. And we had been going out evangelizing. I go to Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. And we'd go out a couple times a week. And we had, there's about 10 or 12 of us that would go out. We'd go out to like the areas where there was a lot of people. But there was only maybe one person get saved every four or five times out. And so in frustration, I begged God, show me what to do. We've been through the different trainings that were available, and they really were not helpful. They actually, it became more frustrating. But in then a period of about a week, God changed the way that I share the gospel. So kind of typically, tell me if you agree, the way we share the gospel is when we find someone that we think we should share with, we pretty much explain the gospel message. We'll explain to them that God loves us, that Jesus died for our sins, and that, you know, if you'll believe in him, you'll be saved. And we kind of make it so plain, we're like, why don't they get it? I mean, it's such good news, right? Well, this is where God did the change in me. Because what God got me to do is just to say his word. Not try to convince them, not try to manipulate them, not to sell them on the benefits of being saved. So, let's talk a little bit about me, okay? I know I used to like to do that a lot, but so I'm a big sinner, okay? And I had a lot of jobs I did. The reason why I'm going to share this is so you realize that what I'm going to teach you, anybody can do, even the kids, okay? Kids, I see a few there. Okay, there's one. Okay, so this is how simple it is. So I worked in factories. I was a laborer. I was a painter. I worked in restaurants. I was a gardener. I worked in fruit farms. I was an office worker. I built boats for a while. I didn't really build a house, but I did some building in houses. And then I also learned how to repair, you know, because when you build it wrong, you have to repair it. So I did all kinds of different jobs. And so I didn't go to Bible college. I didn't go to Bible school. I didn't go to seminary. Now, I'm not against that, but I'm just saying I didn't have any formal training. But I did believe God. I read my Bible. I go to Bible studies, and I prayed. Okay? And that is something that God has taught me to do a lot of. And so what I want to just give you is a verse that will hopefully encourage you, okay, that anybody can share the gospel, and it's not a matter of being real smart. So in 2 Corinthians 11:3, Paul said, I fear lest by any means as a serpent tricked Eve through his craftiness, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Okay? Sometimes I think what we hear is the people that are trying to teach us how to evangelize, whether they evangelize themselves that way or not, they've kind of studied and they've kind of figured it out, and they have all these things they tell you that I'm not saying that they're never going to be beneficial, but they're not generally beneficial. So Paul says that he doesn't want us to be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but that's a very, very significant thing that Jesus said. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. So what I like to do, I like to just, okay, I don't know very many of you guys, I met a few of you. For all I know, some of you guys just came in, you've never been to church before, and you don't even know the gospel. So what I like to do is I like to share the gospel with you, and hopefully if you are not a Christian yet, that you will hear the shepherd's voice. And I want you just to see how simply I do it, because it's something that anybody can do. So Jesus said you must be born from above in order to go to heaven. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody can come to the Father but by me. Then he makes a promise. As many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God, even to those that believe on his name. The Bible says, the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So let me ask you, all of you, do you want to go to heaven when you die? Okay, good. Okay, just making sure I'm in the right place. Okay. Now, first thing that Jesus said is to believe that he's God, that he died on the cross for all of our sins, and after 3 days, God raised him from the dead. Do you believe that? Okay, yeah. Me too, I believe it. Then Jesus says to repent and to receive him. So what I'd like to do, I'm going to pray with you to receive Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior for the forgiveness of all your sins. Even if you've already got Jesus in your heart, I'm going to invite you to pray along with us so that those that maybe haven't yet made a commitment and are receiving of Jesus will be encouraged to do the same. Okay? So I'm going to say the prayer a line at a time. It's important you mean this from your heart. So let's pray. Dear Jesus, please come into my heart. Please forgive me for all my sins. Be my Lord and my Savior and guide my life. Holy Spirit, please fill me and give me the power to live for you. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Then Jesus says to follow him. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you'll be my disciples indeed. You'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So I encourage you to read from your Bible each day. Pray before you read it. Ask God to show you what he means, and ask him to help you to obey him. Have we noticed that sometimes we try to obey God in our own power, and we do a very bad job of it? Kids, you notice that? You're going to admit it maybe more than us adults. But the fact of the matter is that we can't obey God in our own power. So when God shows you to do this or do that from the word, say, yes, Lord, help me to obey you. God will give you the power to obey him when you ask him to help you, okay? Now, make sure you go to church that teaches the Bible. Jim, this church teaches the Bible, right? No. Honesty is very good, but it does. So bring your friends here to church. And then make sure you share the good news with all your friends and relatives. Jesus said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus will save anybody that believes in him and calls upon his name. So if you think, well, I have some friends, but they're like really bad people, great. Share the good news with them. If they believe the gospel and receive Jesus Christ, he'll come in their life and save them. And then how does he change them? Same way he changes us. When we read the Bible says that we're washed daily by the washing of the water of the word. That's why I read the Bible every day, so God can clean us out. Now, if there's anybody that today was the first day that you received the Lord, make sure you tell Pastor Jim, because he'll have some follow-up stuff I'm sure he'd like to give you and encourage you in. Now, once again, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me. If you notice, I didn't do any sermonizing. Now, I'm not saying that Jim can't do that from when he's doing a church service, but when we're just talking to our friends or people that we know, we don't have to have a sermon, okay? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me. That's in John 10:27. That'd be a good verse for you to write down and memorize because that keeps us from thinking that we have to talk him into it. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, there's people that say, there's sometimes people say, well, you have to believe the whole Bible to be saved. Well, if that was the case, I don't think any of us would be saved yet, because it would take a long time for us to read the whole Bible and believe it. But what's the basics, okay? Because this is really the thing that we have to really identify. What's the basic thing that we need to believe to be saved? In Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says, if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For from the heart, man believes to righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And so, if you notice, before I asked you if you wanted to receive the Lord, I told you what Jesus said to believe. It's very simple, that he's God, that he died on the cross for all of our sins, and after 3 days, God raised him from the dead. Now, why am I going to encourage you to talk to people? Because it says in Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, when we're just explaining the gospel, the problem is there's no power in the explanation of it. The power is in the word of God. And this is why when we use the word of God, it's like so powerful. This is why we teach the word of God. It's not just powerful to a believer, but it's powerful to a non-believer. And then why do we ask them to receive the Lord? Because in verse 13 of Romans 10, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay? That's why I invite them to pray, is to give them an opportunity to call upon the name of the Lord. Verse 14 of Romans 10 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? This is why we're to speak the word. Okay? I know some people really like to use a tract type thing, and I'm not saying tracts are not any good at all, but in my opinion, that's your last resort. Okay? Because so many times we're just kind of too shy to say anything because we're afraid they're going to say no. Right? Has anybody here ever been told that we're supposed to be soul winners? Okay. Well, I was told that too, but forget about that, because the Bible doesn't tell us that we're to be soul winners, even though it does have a verse in the Old Testament where it says, he that wins souls is wise. We're never told to be soul winners. We're told to be ambassadors. An ambassador takes a message and delivers it, and there's no consequence whether the person receives the message or not. As far as getting rewards as believers, we don't get rewarded if someone accepts the Lord. We get rewarded if we obeyed and spoke the word. That's where the reward comes from. Whether they received the Lord or not, that's God's job. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. Okay? Now, there's something that I haven't yet shared with you, but something that's very important. Before we speak to somebody about the Lord, before we speak the word, Have you ever had someone that you're just going like, man, this person is such a big sinner. I don't know if they even want to know. The Bible says that our hearts are hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Do you remember the parable of the sower? Okay, the first soil is the wayside soil, very hard. Nothing happens. This is a person, in my opinion, that has not been prayed for. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that I'm not a theologian, so it's not like you're going to check me out on that. Just kind of the way I look at it. Jesus told Peter, he said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So the key to the kingdom, to let people in the kingdom, is praying. God, I pray that you would bind Satan and his angels, coming against their mind and their hearts. Set them free. Loose them so they can hear your word and receive you. Okay? It's like when an army is coming in and trying to take a shore, before they get up on their boats to get to the shore, the big ships from 20, 25 miles out are pounding it with shells. They're shooting it from way out there. And they call that softening the target. And this is similar to what it is when we're praying for God to prepare the hearts, for him to bind Satan and his angels from coming against their mind and their hearts, to to set them free so they can hear his voice and receive him. So that's very important that we remember that prayer before we do speak the word is very important. So Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me." Now, sometimes people like to do testimonies, and I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with a testimony, but I'm going to just encourage you to make sure that if you are giving a testimony, that you, the word of, not just the word of God is included, but you're speaking specific scriptures in it. Okay? Now, when I'm sharing with someone, if you notice, I don't give them the scriptural address, okay? Because it's just going to confuse them. But I do use the whole verse. I don't just chop it up into little bits, even though sometimes part of it isn't really applicable to what I'm saying. You still want to have the whole verse so that the God's word is there in force. Now, Jesus said in Matthew, I think it's 16:19, he says that the Holy Spirit's job, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he'll convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Because sometimes people think that we have to go and kind of convince them about how bad they are. But when we're speaking the word, I believe that that's the Holy Spirit's job. He's convicting them, the world, of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Now, that doesn't mean that we never say anything about sin. But I'm just saying that, you know, some people think that it's really important that you kind of bring out all their sins and stuff. But what I found is that's not important. If God tells you specifically on a certain case, well, you need to obey the Lord, but in general terms. So, my sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me. In John 5:25, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." See, the problem is when someone, before they're born again, they can't hear the spiritual things. That's why when we explain it, I mean, there's been people who go, "How can I make this any more plain?" And they're like, "Well, sounds good." They're not what I would call skeptics. They're just, you're just thinking, what's it gonna take? And what it's gonna take is God speaking to them. So that's why we want to make sure that we're using the Word of God. Most of the verses that I use are actually Jesus' own words. Once again, John 5:25. "Truly, truly, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Now, before God taught me to just use his word, I'd have to talk to maybe 50 or 100 people before someone would receive the Lord. I mean, it was pretty frustrating. And when God taught me just to use his word, it was like, I'm not saying that there's like, it's not like a formula where you're going to guarantee that this many, but it's like almost half of the people that I'd share with would receive the Lord. You're going like, I thought it was a revival that started, but I didn't really realize how important it was that God taught me just to use his word. That took a little while, but it's like amazing. So I've been to probably, I think, about 35 countries around the world, sharing the gospel and teaching people how to just simply use the word of God. And it's like every place I go, It's I won't say the exact same thing, but it's very much reception. Sometimes people think, well, don't you have to explain it because people don't have a biblical background? I was in Japan about 12 times after the tsunami that happened in 2011. You know, the earthquake and the tsunami. And in Japan, 90% of the people have never heard the gospel. They've never heard the name of Jesus Christ. And as we spoke the word of God to people, half of them, they'd light up as we're sharing just these verses. Excuse me for a minute. Need a little bit of water. So it's like you're saying, well, how do they really know what's going on? I don't think they do. But that's really not our job or problem. In Romans, I think it was 15:21. It says, "But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand." What we have to understand is God's Holy Spirit is working in people's minds and hearts. Okay? People that have a biblical background and people that don't. And our job is just to give them the word. Okay, now, what if you share with somebody, what if I share with this young man here, and I share the gospel with him, and I said, so tell me, do you want to go to heaven when you die? And as you have heard from many Scottish people, not people here, they're like, well, not really bothered by it, you know, I'm not really concerned, I haven't thought about it. So what I've learned to do is I used to try to convince him that God's real, because that's usually the problem. They don't believe that God's real, or they don't know who God is. But what God taught me to do is just go, when I say, so it sounds like you don't believe in God or don't know who he is. Yeah, I don't believe in God. I said, okay, that's fair. Don't you think if God was real, he should be able to talk to you personally? And many of the times you're going to hear him go, well, yeah, I do. And this is good, because this is not an atheist. That's just someone that doesn't know. So what I'd say to him, I said, look, what I have here, this is one of the books of the Bible. It's the Gospel of John. And what I'd like to do is give this to you. But what I want to encourage you to do when you take it is that before you read it, just say, God, if you're real. If Jesus Christ really is God, if he really died on the cross for all my sins, and after 3 days God raised him from the dead, show me what I must do to be saved. Now make sure it's quiet when you read it. No distractions. If God shows you that he's real, he'll show you what to do. If he doesn't show you that he's real, do whatever you want. And after I tell them to do whatever they want, I hand it to them, and everybody takes it. And then I give them about 5 seconds, and I go, just make sure when God shows you that he's real, that you do what he says. And they're all like, okay. Because this is a person. The way we used to do it, if they didn't believe in God, we'd think, we either try to convince them that God's real, or we just think, they're just an old atheist. But the fact of the matter is that until God revealed himself to us, we didn't know. Look at Paul. I mean, Paul was religious, but he was very wrong. He was actually persecuting the Christians. But when Jesus showed himself to him, he got not just born again, he was radically born again, but we see the difference. And so what we want to realize is that when someone doesn't yet believe in God, don't push him. It's just give them the word. I always try to speak the word first, because remember in Isaiah 55:11, God says, my word will not return to me void, but it will accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing whereto I send it. God's word is very, very powerful. We have no clue how powerful. I mean, we, those of us that are big sinners, know, wow, God's done a lot changing me, but we still don't realize all the power that's in the word. So what I'd like to do is, if you have some type of a pen or something, and something you can write on, I have some verses I'd like to share with you, because many times people are kind of going like, well, I don't know, you know. I'm going to say it sounds good, but it doesn't really seem like it's really going to be that effective. So first verse, I don't want you to write the whole verse out, just the address. Then you can go back later and fill out the whole verse on your paper. God's word, how powerful is it? James 1:18. Of his own will we're born again with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So that's James 1:18. And then James 1:21. It says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and excess of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. That's James 1:21. And then 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. That's 1 Peter 1:23. So here we got three verses that are telling us that the word caused us to be born again. If you're not convinced, I've got another one. John 63. This is Jesus speaking. He said, it is the spirit that makes alive, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they're spirit and they're life. We think, well, that means if Jesus is saying them. Okay, I'll give you that. Now, how many of us have asked Jesus in our heart? Okay, so who's living inside you? Jesus. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God's living inside of us. So when we're speaking God's word, God is speaking to him. I'm not saying we're God, but he's in us, right? Is Christ in you the hope of glory? Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That's John 6:63. Now John 5:25, once again, truly, truly, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Remember, they're dead in their trespasses and sins, but when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, they that hear shall live. So, when we're sharing the Word of God, remember Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You see, when we're just speaking to people, there's no faith imparted. But when we're using God's Word, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I believe it. I don't know how in the world that works, but God's got all that figured out, and he didn't even have to figure it out. He just set it up, I guess. Because in Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, why does it not really work out when we're trying to convince people? Because I did it for like 30-some years, and it didn't work out very well. In 1 Corinthians 1:17 and 18, Paul said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. So the power of God is in the preaching of the word, preaching the cross of Jesus Christ. It's foolishness to those that aren't saved, but to us which are saved, it's the power of God. Now, if we're not convinced yet, write down Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing sunder to the soul and spirit, and to the joints and the marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You see, when we're speaking God's word to people, I have no clue what God is doing in their heart, but I'm going to guarantee you he's doing stuff that you and I could never figure out. Okay? I have no clue. But, there's a pastor where in the area that we live, and he's Mexican heritage, and when he gets excited, he kind of speaks where you can't really understand what he's saying that well, because it's kind of half Spanish, half English. He's a great guy, loves Jesus Christ with all his heart, and he is using the Word of God, but kind of listening, you're kind of trying to figure out what he's saying. Then he does an altar call, and you got 100 or 200 people come forward. And you realize, oh my gosh. The point that I'm saying is that it kind of was a benefit that they couldn't really understand what he was saying, because I believe God was able to speak into many people's minds what he wanted to. He could go after certain parts of their life and heart where they were then saying, yes, I want Jesus Christ. So, Hebrews 4:12, once again, the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God's Word is so powerful. We're not going to have any clue. There's two things we're going to be amazed at when we get to heaven, and we're probably going to be very sad that we didn't use more of it. The Word of God and prayer. Okay, those two things, we don't realize how powerful those two things are. But they're very necessary for us as Christians, but also for evangelism. In Luke 4:18 and 19, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. For a long time, I was back before I was using God's word, I was like wanting to preach to the rich people, you know. get a few of the rich people in there. They could, you know, help the church out and their influence. You know, a lot of people would receive the Lord because that rich person. Well, none of that ever worked out. But God finally got me to understand about preaching the gospel to the poor. It's not just poor in cash, but poor in spirit. You see, so I was in Glasgow on the streets for a couple days before Creation Fest. And first three or four people I tried to share with pretty much like brick walls, you know. And then I saw a homeless person. I'm like, oh. Went over and shared the gospel. What do you think they did? Yes. Okay. These guys aren't just poor cash-wise, but they're usually pretty broken inside also. And when I'm looking to go evangelize, because I've been to, like I said, 35 countries around the world. I've been to many countries where there's been a disaster, typhoons, hurricanes, earthquakes. What happens is when something has been an upheaval, people, their whole life is shaken. Their core is shaken. Sometimes there's Christians who will go, oh yeah, but let them get over that so they make a real commitment. No. You go and give them the gospel. The worse shape they're in, the more open they are to God. Okay? And let God keep them in the fold. That's, you know, His job. So, the Lord is anointing me to preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recovering the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Anybody know what the acceptable year of the Lord is? It's right now. Yeah, it's right now. So I want to say that to encourage you, that when you know somebody that's in a hard spot, go and share the gospel with them. You know? Children are very open to the gospel. When I'm, you know, walking around town, if I see some teenagers, I'm going to go share with them because they're more open than anybody. Now, what we want to make sure that when we are sharing the gospel, we make sure that we have a very clear and simple presentation. So some of the helps that I have for you, and in case I forget at the end, there's a table set up out by the coffee and tea, and there's books. These little cards, there's some CDs. It's all free. I don't know if I have enough books for everybody to have one. So maybe if they're getting a little low, maybe just one per family. But if there's a lot there, take them. But everybody at least take a couple of the cards. This is not a card for you to hand to someone. This is a card so that when God tells you to share with your friend, you know, the ones you've been praying for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. If the Lord tells you, share with your friend. Say, yes, Lord, help me to obey. Pray for them. Pull the card out and go and just, even you don't have to have it memorized. Just go, hey, can I read to you a few things that Jesus said from the Bible? Can you guys do that? Can everybody read here? Okay. Okay, and the reason why I say it is because I know sometimes people go, I feel really stupid just reading that to my friend. That's great. The stupider we feel, the more power they're going to realize is from God. Because if we say it real smooth and debonair, they might think we're doing something ourselves. But when you speak the word, even if it kind of gets out haltingly, just speak the word and watch what God does. Even if they don't want to receive Jesus Christ, you spoke the word. You planted the seed. I have people that have said to me, oh, I was out planting seeds today. I was telling people that God loves them. Okay? Based on what Jesus said, they weren't planting the seed. What is the seed? What does Jesus say the seed is? The word of God. That's the seed. And if you say Jesus loves you or God loves you, I'm going to encourage you not just to say those words. Because that's really a bad message as far as them to know. If you're going to say God loves you, say, give them John 3:16. For God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would have everlasting life and not perish. So you don't want to just go around telling people everything's okay, because if they're not saved, things are not okay. They might be okay right now, but they'll be very, very surprised once they die. Now, we want a clear, simple presentation. So kids, anybody under 15, raise your hand. I just want to see where you're at, okay? You? The two? You're over 15? Oh, okay. So we got about 8 or 9 of us here. Okay, so this is so simple. I've had 7 or 8 year olds do this and have people get saved. Actually, they probably do it better than we do because they just want to get the word out. So Jesus said, "Allow the little children to come to me and don't forbid them. For of such is the kingdom of God. Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter therein." Okay, that's in John 10, 14, and 15. And it does say little child because I'm thinking about, okay, because sometimes we hear that a child could be a 20 or 30 year old person. So I checked on that. Is the word little in that Greek thing? And it is. So Jesus said, "Allow the little children to come to me and don't forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." So, if it has to be simple enough for a child to receive, shouldn't it be simple enough for a child to give? Okay? And the answer is yes. Because salvation is not supposed to be something where we have to do a bunch of feats, you know, and prove ourselves that we're worthy, because none of us are worthy. The only reason why salvation is offered to us is because God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So the main thing that we have to understand, we want to keep it simple, keep it clear, use the word of God, okay? So what do you do? Because I've had a few people this week say to me, "Well, I don't believe that Jesus is God." Now, do I argue with them? I don't argue with them. I said, "Well, then you need to read the Gospel of John." And that's what I do. I just would give it to him. I said, "Before you do anything, read the Gospel of John. Pray. God, if this is 100% true, if Jesus is really God, if he really died on the cross for all my sins, if he raised from the dead, show me." Because that's so important. Now, I know, I admit there are people that they think Jesus is the Son of God. They ask him in their heart. And then they meet up with the pastor, and the pastor's talking to them, and they're like, wait, I thought Jesus was the Son of God. The pastor goes, "Well, no, here it's..." They go, "Oh, okay." That's different. It's the ones that are like, "No, he's not God, he's just the Son of God." That's where there's a problem. Because in Romans 10, 9, it's the very first verse of that says that to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. Kyrios, okay? Not just a teacher, not just somebody kind of special, but God himself. So, remember, it's a spiritual event. We're not trying to convince their intellect. That's why I don't even try to convince them. Sometimes we would go, I've done this before, I haven't done it for quite a while, but I would tell them, I said, "Now, when you receive him, that he's going to fill you with his love and his joy and his peace, and he's going to give you rest." I would tell them benefits, but then God showed me all I was trying to do is to sell them on it. You want God to be the one that gets them convinced, where they're responding to God, not you. So it's a spiritual event. We're not trying to convince their intellect. We're speaking past it, speaking to their spirit. To get past it, we don't want to confuse them. We want to plant the Word of God in their heart. We are sowing to their spirit, planting the Word of God in their heart so that the Holy Spirit can do the job that he does so well as convicting the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to draw them to salvation. And that verse is, I said Matthew, I was wrong, it's John 16:8. It says, "When the Holy Spirit has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." We also want to make sure that when we do our invitation, we keep it very simple and clear also. I just basically kind of, after I shared the gospel, I said, "You want to go to heaven when you die?" "Yeah." "Good. First thing Jesus said is to believe that he's God, that he died on the cross for all of our sins, And after 3 days, God raised him from the dead. Do you believe that? Yeah, I believe that. I said, okay, so I'll pray with you. And I kind of tell him a little bit about what we're gonna say when I say, I said, so I'll pray with you. The prayer is going to be asking Jesus to come in your heart, forgive you for all of your sins, to be your Lord and Savior. I'm going to pray with you to repent and receive Jesus Christ into your heart. So they get an idea of what we're going to do, okay? Now, what I do with the teenagers is yesterday at the event, there was a lot of people on the outside fringes, okay, and that's kind of where I would hang out a lot. And so I had a group of, there's about 12 or 15, they were like 18 to 20 year olds, something like that. And so I shared the gospel with them, and then I told them, I don't want you to pray out loud. And the reason why I do that is because I don't want, sometimes you got people that are heavily influenced by their friends. I don't want someone that's just influenced by their friend praying because their friend's praying. I don't want them to have the, it's kind of like a peer pressure in a good way, but it's not really work if they don't really believe. You know, and they pray and ask Jesus, and he's not going to come in because they don't believe. And I don't want them to later on say, well, I tried it and it didn't work. So I just say, just pray quietly in your mind. So then after I pray, though, I'll say, so did you pray or did you listen? Okay, that way, to give them a chance to confess that they believe in Jesus and received him. Now, sometimes people say, how do you know if they're really serious? Okay. And this is, I guess a legitimate question. The answer, though, is you don't know. How are we going to know? You can know down the road, okay? Because the conversion is something I kind of think of as something that's kind of like, let's say I share with this lady here, and I knew her before, and then a couple weeks, a couple months down the road, I see, wow. Man, she was really converted. Her life's changed. She's doing stuff different. Not because someone gave her a list of things to do and not do, but because God is truly working in her life. But we really can't tell, if they really are serious. And sometimes people say, I don't want false conversions. Well, I don't really think I can convert anybody. I kind of have an idea that if I was able to convert them, that they really need to get saved. But I do believe it's the Holy Spirit that's doing the work in their heart. And when we realize that, we realize that it's God's job to do that. So they must believe by faith. Faith is a little child. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Don't try to convince their intellect. It's not intellectual. It's a spiritual event. Once again, Jesus said, it's a spirit that makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. We're to preach the gospel using the word of God. We're either planting or watering. We don't really know which one. But the Word of God does both. If they've never heard the Word of God and we speak the Word, it's being planted. If they've heard it before and we speak it again, it's being watered. But we want to remember that it's God that will give the increase. We're not to go to check the soil, but we're supposed to be sowers and fishermen. What do fishermen do? Some of them, they take a net and they throw it out. Pull it in, and they go through. There's stuff that they can sell. There's stuff that they can't. The stuff that's not good gets tossed out. So we don't have to really worry about that, because if there are people that said they believe in Jesus and they turned out that they didn't, God's going to keep working because we spoke the word of God to them. So what do we do for advice? And this is very important, because sometimes people might think, wow, I asked Jesus tomorrow, I can do whatever I want. All my sins are forgiven. Okay? So that's why the last verse that I told you, I make sure I always share with everybody. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you'll be my disciples. Indeed, you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So if they do start thinking, oh, I can just do whatever I want, well, the Holy Spirit's going to bring that verse back to them. Okay? God will bring them back to them. So what do I do for advice? I encourage them, read from your Bible each day. Pray before you read it. Ask God to show you what he means and ask him to help you to obey him. Make sure you pray, talk to God, and give him time to talk to you also. Make sure you go to church that teaches the Bible. Share the good news with all your friends. Share with everybody. Jesus said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus will save anybody and everybody that believes in him and calls upon his name. There's been times where I've wondered, I wonder if I should share with that person. Have any of you guys ever had that thought? I wonder if I should share with that person. I just want to give you a little hint. The devil will never tempt you to share with someone. Okay? He doesn't do that. So if you ever think, I wonder if I should share with that person, the answer is yes. Okay? So now whenever I have that thought, I just go, well, the answer is yes. So be encouraged to share with them. Now, am I telling you guys to go out and share with people you don't know? No. That's between you and God. If God tells you to do that, then, you know, who gave you the courage to do it? But the important thing is that we share with our friends and relatives. And we don't have to go and have a list and go talk to all them in line. Just be praying. Ask God to show you. He'll show you when to do it. And then pray for Him to give you the courage to do it. Take the little card and watch what God does. Sometimes a new believer asks me what church to go to. Well, if you guys go to the church, invite them to church. But if I'm out around and I go, well, you know, go to a church that teaches the Bible. That's the most important thing. Now, how can we follow up? Because a lot of times people are very concerned about follow up. The best follow up you can do is to pray for them every day. Every day. The ones that received the Lord and the ones that didn't. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. God will listen to your prayer. God will continue to work in those people's life. And if you're a friend of theirs, go over and maybe go over and read the Bible with them or invite them to church. And sometimes maybe they're not really that keen on going to church. They'll say, hey, look, come to church with me. I'll take you out to eat afterwards. Most of them will go for that, okay? And then after they hear the word for a while, then they're going to realize, wow, this is great. I like this. Now, what would hold us back from this? Because in Philippians 2:13 it says, for it's God that works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So it's God that's going to give us the willingness to do this. He's going to give us the ability to do it. But the one thing that really is necessary is to be filled with the Holy Spirit daily. And so I want to encourage you, if you're not doing it yet, to start every morning praying, God, please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to listen to you. Help me to obey you quickly. Okay? Help me to abide in your presence. Because sometimes, I remember when I first heard this thought about being in the presence of the Lord, I kind of thought, oh. But then when you think about it, if Jesus is inside us, it's just a matter of us realizing that we're in His presence. Okay? And ask Him to help us to do what He wants us to do. So, Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father, that your word doesn't return void, that it will accomplish it what you please, and it will prosper in the thing whereto you send it. I pray, Father, for every believer here, that you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit. Pray that you would give us your power to do your will. Father, I just pray for any that might think, oh, I don't think I can do this, that you, Lord, would encourage them. That you'd strengthen them, Lord, just to listen to your voice and to trust you to help them to do what you want them to do. Father, you say it's you that works in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Father, we depend on that, not just today, but every day going forward. And we just want to pray that your blessing be upon the congregation and that you'd help each one of us, Lord, to listen to your voice and to obey you quickly. We praise you, Father, and we bless you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.